brothers and sisters in Christ who have been grafted into the vine. Last week, I got to watch the Mount Olive confirmation service from the hospital room down at Children's Hospital. Certainly not the way that I ever expected that I'd be watching that service. Well, my wife and I watched with a special joy because we had both had that class of students just this past year. My wife had the eighth graders, and last year I had them as seventh graders, my first class of seventh grade catechism students. In a sense, they broke me into that part of my teaching ministry, and thankfully it doesn't seem like I broke them with a heavy load of memory work. We watched with joy as Pastor Wardell once again explained what confirmation really means, a strengthening in faith that happens as we embrace the truths of the Christian faith into which we were baptized. We grow up in those truths and we embrace them and confess them for ourselves as God continues to make those truths grow in our heart. As I heard those confirmation students read their verses and receive those blessings, it no doubt reminded me of the verse that was chosen as my own confirmation passage once upon a time, the verse that comes from our gospel lesson today. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, that verse was chosen for me once upon a time, but long before that, Jesus chose that verse for his disciples on Maundy Thursday evening, a night that would be for them sort of a confirmation evening. Jesus had prepared all kinds of instruction and blessing for them because the time was coming when their period of intense instruction was going to end. And Jesus would no longer be with them physically anymore. See, they had been training and learning from him over the past 3 years, but Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen on the very next day. So on that final evening with his disciples, Jesus prepared so many things. As the master, he bent down and showed them the true heart of a servant. He washed their feet. He comforted them with the promise of the Holy Spirit who would be with them to guide them into all truth and who would comfort them after Jesus was gone from their lives physically. Jesus gave them his true body and blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins, to assure them that every sin had been washed away because of what he was going to do on the following day. But Jesus also made his disciples face reality that evening. Just as Pastor Wardell reminded us of the danger that there is for our young people, half, maybe even more, may fall away throughout their lives, Jesus was under no naive illusions about what the disciples were going to face even that very night. So Jesus warns them bluntly. He says, "Tonight, one of you will betray me." And they all look around at each other, dumbfounded. Surely Jesus can't know what he's talking about. Surely not I, Lord, they all say. But Jesus knew what he was talking about. Later on, again, he warns them, "This very night, you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And again, they're so surprised, they can't believe what Jesus is saying. And Peter, bold Peter, gets up and he doubles down. He says, "Even if all of these guys fall away on account of you, I never will. You know, Jesus actually takes Peter to task. He says, it's funny you should mention that, Peter, because tonight, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. What does Peter do? Peter triple dog downs and says, no, 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 even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. So they had made their confirmation promises, emphatically made, and soon emphatically broken. Have you made those kinds of promises, confirmation promises about how you will always, or marriage promises about how you will always, or promises about a sin that you will never? Then have you doubled down on that promise? Never, ever. Have you had the gumption to triple dog down on those promises? Never, no, not ever, even if I have to die. And then you crumble. You found yourself in the herd of disciples running away from Jesus, or right next to Peter, weeping because the rooster was reminding you of how you had miserably failed three times in a matter of hours. It's a good thing that Jesus was not there that evening for fake sinners with no weaknesses. He was there for real sinners with real weaknesses and real struggles. So as Jesus continues that evening to warn them and to strengthen them, it seems like that's all going to end when he says, come now, let us leave. It seems like they get up and they're about to go to the garden. And then it's kind of like one of those times where you think the preacher is at the end. You think he's going to say amen. And then all of a sudden he goes on for three more paragraphs. Jesus goes on for three more chapters. But this isn't just end of the service dieseling. These are three of the most beautiful encouragements, instructions, and prayers in all of the scriptures. And the first of those that we hear is the metaphor of the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. We might better understand that word gardener with the word vine dresser, the one who takes care of the vines in the vineyard. See, Jesus isn't just picturing like the little tomato garden that I have in my backyard. He's picturing a grapevine vineyard. He's contrasting himself with the way that the Old Testament pictures the people of Israel. See, as Jesus introduces this, he says, I am the true vine. And he has in mind some other vines that have not borne fruit. So we hear the song that Isaiah says about the Old Testament people of Israel. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. And then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice, but saw bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. So we see Jesus, the true and fruitful vine, standing in place of Israel, the unfruitful vine. Now, as long as I've heard this whole metaphor about the vine and the branches, I think I've had just this fundamental misconception of what Jesus is really talking about. Because when I hear him say, I am the vine and you are the branches, I don't think I've really got that straight in my head, because I used to watch the movie Tarzan. And so when I think about vines, I think about like those soft, flexible, green, rope-swinging vines that hang from all the trees and the branches in the jungle, the kind that Tarzan swings from. But if you think about it like me, if you think about it like that, you get the whole metaphor backwards, because when Jesus is talking about a grapevine, the vine is actually like the inward tree part down at the bottom. It's the trunk. That's the grapevine. And the branches, those are like the flexible, greener parts that are right above the fruit. So now that we've got this picture straight, where the vine is at the center and the branches grow out and the fruit goes from the vine, then we hear Jesus weave together this most beautiful cycle of law and gospel truths. The basic truth: Jesus is the vine, his Father is the gardener, and you are the branches. Jesus is the source of life for everything that we have and need. There is only life for us in him. And the Father goes to work pruning his branches. He cuts off all the extra tangle. He shapes and fashions these branches so that they will bear good fruit. And you are those branches, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Then Jesus adds another promise on top. He says, "You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Now, in the context of this vine and branches metaphor, we don't really understand what clean has to do with this, but Jesus is actually making a cool pun, because the word clean in Greek sounds a lot like the word prune, and prune can actually mean clean. So when Jesus says, "You are already clean," it's like he's saying the Father has already pruned you. He's already gone to work on you since the day that the word took root in your heart, either at your baptism or the day that you first believed the truths of the Christian faith. Jesus is the vine. In him you have life. The Father is the gardener who will make you bear fruit. And then Jesus gives another one of those warnings. The Father cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. See, there is no room for dead weight. And apart from the vine, you simply cannot bear fruit. And what happens to those branches? They are cut off and they wither and they are thrown into not just a metaphorical imaginary fire, they are thrown into the real fire of hell. Jesus gives a stern warning, and then he gives the most beautiful promises to go with this. He calls them to remain. 7 times in this section of 8 verses, Jesus says that word remain, so that there's no way that we can miss it, no matter how distracted or dense we might be on a particular day. The point is, remain in me. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. That's the promise he gives us. And then the next promise that we hear comes off kind of conditional sounding in our translation when it says, "If you remain, then you will bear fruit." It's really not so much of a condition as it is a promise, where Jesus is saying, the one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. So with these basic truths, warnings, and promises in place, then Jesus tells us about another promise. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." See, the Father will give his branches whatever they need, and nothing that is not beneficial or good for them, even if it doesn't feel good at the time, even if it feels painful, even if it feels like you cannot simply bear it. If Father withholds nothing from his branches that is beneficial. He gives the answers to our prayers. He is faithful to his promises. As you remain in the vine and you produce fruits just as Jesus has promised, then we see a glorious result. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Isn't it amazing that the God of all the universe, who has all the glory and splendor of the entire world and all of creation, binds himself to us in order to make himself look good? It's through the branches that bear fruit that the vine and the gardener look good. And that's the privilege that we have as believers, to glorify our Father, the gardener, and to bear the good fruit of the vine. What a job that we have as Christians to bear fruit. So how did those disciples do on their confirmation evening? After they had made all of those promises, not so good. Judas leads the soldiers straight to Jesus, betrays the Son of Man with a kiss, and hands him over. Later that evening, Judas cuts himself off from the vine as he takes his own life in despair and unbelief. John runs away from those soldiers so fast he runs right out of his clothes. Peter sticks around for a while. He gets out his sword and he's ready to fight. Cuts off an ear. Later that night, he disowns Jesus 3 times before the rooster crows, just as Jesus had warned. And the rest of the disciples, they all flee as well, just as Jesus said they would scatter. Even if we are faithless, God remains faithful to his promise. And so the Father, the gardener, went about pruning his branches, pruning them to bear good fruit, calling them back to the vine to remain in him. And so John was back the next day at the crucifixion. As Jesus handed over his mother and entrusted her to his care to be her son. Thomas had his faith renewed in the truth of the resurrection as Jesus had him put his hands into the nail holes and into his side. Thomas' faith in the resurrection was renewed, and he bore fruit as a brave ministry, as a brave missionary. What about Peter? Jesus went before the disciples into Galilee and appeared to restore Peter. And as he restored Peter, he even triple dog charged him to feed my lambs. And so Peter and the rest of the apostles, they went forward preaching the truth of the resurrection day after day. The Father worked through their mission and their work to give birth to the New Testament church, to bear fruit that would last to eternity. And so it was said about the disciples day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. So what does this all mean for you, dear brothers and sisters in the vine? You are connected to the same vine, and you have the same Father who prunes you so that you will be even more fruitful. And there will be days where you try to bear fruit apart from him, and you will miserably fail, and the vine calls you back to himself and is faithful to his promise to remain in you, and he will make you bear fruit. The fruit of the resurrection living in your lives and showing itself in the lives of people around you. This is how resurrection hope bears fruits in our lives. Amen. Please stand.
Hey, thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.